A little bit of Talking Heads right there. That, of course, is the Stop Making Sense rendition of Burning Down the House. Important to note that it's that version because it is that concert film, that event that will be recreated on the stage of Odd Bodies this Saturday with a little something extra, and it's going to be doing a lot of good. The event is called This Must Be the Party, and we've got three folks that are involved in making this party happen. Want to welcome two returning guests and one first timer to the show. We've got Libby Ballingy, Keith Kost, and Brian Hoflick in the house. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks.
This is great.
My pleasure. So let's talk a little bit about the genesis of this event, and then we'll get into kind of what people are going to see, hear, and experience on the stage. How did this all come about?
I don't know. Well, I feel like there were a couple different, I feel like, you know how one person has an idea over here and one person has an idea over here and we both have those ideas at the same time? I think there was a little bit of that going on. A bunch of my friends that I've been hanging out with just absolutely adore and love this album. And anytime we're out playing live, Subterranean being one of them, they'll play Life After Wartime. And we're just all so stoked. We're like, yes, this would be amazing. And we're always like, this would be amazing to see the whole album. And then I start talking to musicians such as Brian and Keith, and they're like, yeah, this would be really great and super fun to, you know, pull together. I talked to Jeff Opt, who is the organizer of The Last Waltz, and he said, you know, this has been an idea bounced around the Dayton music scene for a while, but nobody wants to be David Byrne all night. So
challenging.
it would take a lot of energy. It's a lot on one person's shoulder. So we decided to have a core band, and we actually have the David Byrne rotating. So we have five Davids.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So that was the solution to that problem.
Well, also the across town other side of that story is that I was at Keith's house once for the day after Thanksgiving, where we sat around and drank, Kool-Aid, sodas for seven hours. But he put on the concert film, and we were sitting around kicking that around, and Keith's like, man, it would be so cool to do this. I was like, yeah, that would be so cool to do that. And that was a while back, though. This was...
That's one of the recurring videos that we play every Black Friday, and I think we looked at each other and said, why don't we just do it? Why don't we try it?
And one of the things was I was looking for a fun fundraiser idea for the Dayton Ballet. And so many of the events for the performing arts are really big galas, which are great and, you know, get a lot of money, but not necessarily accessible for especially musicians' friends, other people in the community. So they're all talking about doing the show. I'm like, hey, let's do the recreation as a fundraiser for the ballet. So it kind of gelled at that point and kind of started herding the cats, so to speak, as far as getting all the musicians together, which is the hardest part. You know, just mm-hmm. getting it off the ground and getting the parts cast.
And just coordinating those calendars.
Yeah. there's 15 musicians, so it's a lot of coordination.
So tell us a little bit about, you gave us a little hint. How is this going to manifest on stage? We've got core band, five David Byrnes. We're dealing with a concert film, again, analogous to The Last Waltz. How are you guys tackling interpreting this and making it your own a little bit?
Well, we're trying to really mimic the film, the 1984 film directed by Jonathan Demme, who also directed Silence of the Lambs. And it's regarded as one of the top three rock movies of all time. And we're trying to do as close as we can to that with the, you know, constraints of the budget. We don't have an unlimited budget, and we're not performing at the Pantages Theater over three nights. But we are building it as they do. We start with David up there by himself, and then it builds gradually throughout the show until we've got, you know, they did it with nine musicians. As we've got 15, and maybe there'll be one point when all 15 will be on the same stage. But you have to come to the show to find out.
Mm-hmm. I like that subtlety is there.
I think, too, I wouldn't want to get the wrong idea that we're trying to completely recreate what you see in the film. We just, as he said, we don't have the budget for that. But hopefully what we what you might be missing in every detail in that film, we will definitely make up for in energy, hypeness, funness.
And the music itself, right?
And the music itself. I mean, the whole thing is just an homage to what the Talking Heads were doing at that time. And we're thrilled to be able to kind of just bring that music to everybody. And it's going to be so much fun. We've been having so much fun with rehearsals. And, you know, I would encourage everyone to come out for it. It's going to be just a super good time. Wear your fancy clothes and your dancing shoes. And
wear your 80s clothes.
Wear your 80s clothes if you want. Yeah.
Yeah. We are trying to do that piece as well, as close as we can.
And there is like a dance party element to this as well, a little bit.
Yeah, I've been kind of taglining it as the dance party for the dancers. So, you know, one of the things is, you know, sometimes if you go to certain events and, you know, it's a singer-songwriter, which I love, or, you know, different kinds of things where, you know, it's metal. But this is actually just fun dance music. So if you're out with your girlfriends or, you know, you just want like a fun date night that your girlfriend's really going to enjoy the live music, this is the show. So, the danceability is definitely part of it, and actually one of the main reasons that we picked Odd Bodies. You know, there was a clear dance floor, a great sound system, and
lots of room.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. We are talking about This Must Be the Party. It is a fundraiser for Dayton Ballet. It's Saturday night at Odd Bodies, featuring all kinds of local musicians. We're going to talk more about this here in just a moment. But first, let's hear another one from the Stop Making Sense album. This is Once in a Lifetime. We'll be back in just a moment on Kaleidoscope on WISO. It's another one from Stop Making Sense. You can see that recreated live on the stage at Odd Bodies this Saturday night. It's called This Must Be the Party. It's a fundraiser for Dayton Ballet, featuring a slew of local musicians. I estimated that 98% of the lineup has been on this show before, and that number could be too low, actually. I feel bad if 100%. No, I think it's 98. I'm going to say 98, just to be sure. We've got three of the folks involved: Libby Balanji, Keith Koss, and Brian Hoflick in the house. So how did we talked a little bit about how the event itself came about, but how, once you decided like, okay, this is going to be a thing and we're going to do this, how did you all then go about sort of gathering the musicians and assigning the roles and figuring out who the Davids were going to be and all that?
Well, it basically just started with a meeting between a couple of the people. For example, myself, Patrick Himes is also involved. We got together with a friend of ours, Tracy Allen, who's sort of acting as band manager. And we watched the film, also with Dan Hereford. Watched the film, and since Patrick and I had some experience working with a tribute band before in a Pink Floyd tribute, I don't know if it's just because of that. And of course, with his work and my work with The Last Waltz a little bit, I worked a little bit with that. I don't know if we just, you know, it just started coming to us as we were watching the film, and we just started thinking of people on the top of our heads. You know, this was not something that we necessarily were trying to cherry pick certain people, or, you know, a popularity contest, or we, you know, not trying to admit anyone. We just really just went stream of consciousness, and just kind of came up with what we basically ended up with. And we had a couple holes here and there. And we, you know, asked a few people around town, you know, and we got a few no's, and then we got a few yeses, and then we ended up with what we've got. So, you know, I think it's a fantastic lineup. I'm thrilled to be a part of it. Everyone in this group absolutely keeps everyone else on their toes by being really, really great at what they do. So
it seems like just a total like pro group, like cast, like total amazing lineup. And I'm sure people that often don't get the opportunity to play together.
Definitely. I have this very extensive list of names right now. I could
do it
for you if you'd
do
like.
It. Go for it.
Yeah, well, myself, I'm Brian Hoflick. Also, Patrick Himes is in this project, Nathan Lewis, Eric Reith, Greg Lewis, Aaron Holm, Dan Hereford, Chris Blank, Michael from the band Frequency. And I don't know her last name because she's got one of those tricky Facebook last name things, so you're going to have to ask her. I never bothered to ask because she was too busy being awesome and singing. So,
well, anybody that remembers Frequency's set on this show will know that she's amazing.
She's amazing. John Dubuck, Nathan Peters, Brian Spurk, Eric Cassidy, Matt Bionski, and then we've got Dan Simmons helping out with sound. And then also you may see an appearance by Rich Reuter at the show. So, it's a crazy list of awesome musicians that I'm thrilled to be able to work with and play with. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. What is kind of the rehearsal process like for something like this when you've got so many people involved? So you mentioned like you guys got together and watched the film and sort of started developing a plan. How do you then, you know, parse out like, well, number one, like how often do you rehearse for a band that's not really a band, you know? it's not something you're doing, you know, every weekend for 5 years of your life.
Less often than you think you're going to, than you hope to. We threw out a bunch of dates, you know, amongst all of us to try to figure out how to do that. As far as attacking the whole thing, I mean, you kind of have to attack it like on every little level and everyone kind of doing their own part, you know. It's not like we came in and had some sit-down meeting and talked through every song for 15 minutes per song and detailed out everything. We just found some people because the music, in our opinion, was the most important aspect of this whole thing, more than the visual, more than anything. We figure if we get the music down, we can piece everything else together around that over time, which we've done, you know, sporadically throughout, you know. If you've never seen the film, you know, without giving anything away, there's some prop stuff and some sort of key moments you may not want to miss if you're going to see what we're doing. So we try to get working a lot of those, but it was really just a matter of who had time to think about it when, and then you know, how far are we away from doing this thing, and what have we forgotten about?
So. Yeah,
and I will say that. The timing, we tried to risk as the kind of producer of this, it was a little challenging. We had originally wanted to do it in November, and I realized practices would all be essentially during late summer when it's prime festival season, and no one was available. So April was kind of our sweet spot because we started rehearsals in January, and then they got more frequent in February and March, and that was sort of the slower time for everybody's multitude of other bands. So the timing, that was kind of our sweet spot.
That's perfect. And what a nice, like, I don't know, the weather's warm and I'm like ready to get out and hear some music and party. This feels like it's coming at the exact time that it should.
Yeah, it's like a great like cabin fever, or like get out and just dance and let loose. So for sure.
Awesome.
We're certainly ready.
Is it ready to roll?
All the T's are crossed and the I's are whatever you do to the I'm sure everything's going to be perfect. So no, we're very, very excited about doing this. We're excited about doing it for ourselves in a room where there's just us. So we can't wait to share it with a bunch of other people and hopefully do this whole thing some justice, and hopefully everyone just wears himself out having a great time.
It's awesome.
And for me, you know, coming from the ballet bar side, you know, we were just extraordinarily, I mean, profoundly grateful and just could not believe all these guys were volunteering their time. Eric was coming up from Louisville. We have two people from Cincinnati for all the practices. And I mean, just the commitment that these guys have done. I know that they're doing it because they're having fun, but they're also volunteering a ton of time for one of the other performing arts in the community. And I always think that that's cool when artists and performers support each other. And I love to see that sort of cross-pollination. And some of the dancers are coming to the show. And I just think it's really cool. And you get more people start going to the ballet, more people start going to see these guys' bands. And I think that's part of how you create a scene.
And you mentioned the Ballet Bar. For folks that might be unfamiliar with that organization, tell us a little bit about what you do and how you interact with the Dayton Ballet.
Sure. So the Dayton Ballet is actually now part of the Arts Alliance, which also includes the Dayton Opera and the Dayton Philharmonic. And all of those organizations have a volunteer support group. So there's the Opera Guild, the Dayton Philharmonic Volunteer Association, and then we're the Dayton Ballet Bar. The Guild and the DPVA are kind of long established organizations, which is awesome. And we're kind of the young group. So by default, we tend to be sort of considered the young professional or the younger group because we've been around a lot less. But anyway, we've just been trying to think of creative ways that we can, you know, raise money. They've got their, you know, set events that they do, like the Guild and the DPVA. So ours are a little bit more outside the box. We're kind of the young little rebel group. But yeah, so we really appreciate the community support. If you're interested in helping with the ballet, find us on Facebook. That's the best way of communicating with us. And yeah, we hope to see you guys at the show.
Well, and it is really cool to see. I think there's this kind of misconception that you have to either like sort of, you know, the high performing arts or you like rock and roll, you know.
Yeah.
And I know myself as an arts fan and an arts patron and a music fan, I like both. And what I love is to see that all intertwined and, mm-hmm. and supporting each other and to see the interesting things that can happen mm-hmm. through collaboration. So it seems like your group is definitely poised to make things like this and other things like that kind of happen in the community to really say like, hey, it's cool. Like both, support both.
Yeah.
You know?
I know some of the members of the Ballet Bar weren't quite as familiar with Stop Making Sense and this whole concept. So there was a little leap of faith on some of the members' part, but they've been coming to some of the rehearsals and they're absolutely thrilled and excited. So, yeah, I love kind of bridging those sort of gaps between sort of what you call like, yeah, the high arts and some grungy rock and roll. So
definitely. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I try to do that with any band that I'm with to get out and play in places that we wouldn't normally be at or get in front of people who wouldn't normally see it, no matter what it is. You know, I mean, if you come to the show, you're going to see we've got our little program and it's got everyone's name listed who plays in this group. And then it's got all the bands that they play in and all the projects that they're involved with. And when you look across it, it's incredible. You know, and then a lot of them also do weird one-off stuff, you know. I mean, I know that a couple of these guys also perform with some of the more, I love this, I'll call it high art. I'll jump right in with high art, you know. I mean, some of us play in bands with guys that do Dayton Philharmonic Orchestra. Mm-hmm. Some of us have players in our bands that play with Dayton Jazz Orchestra. You know, I mean, there is, and some of our friends playing in a lot of the cool, some of the jam bands around town. I mean, Sub T was just in here. You know, we know those guys. You know, we're starting to the point where we start to all kind of know who one another are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not necessarily trying to be like egotistical about it. We're just trying to just be open about it. And just, mm-hmm. it's like, well, who do you know and what do they do? Because once you kind of know that, it really doesn't matter. Like, your opinions and stuff start to fall away if you really care about having a good time and really care about listening to cool music. And I think that that's a very possible thing to do in Dayton. I think it's mm-hmm. it's the easiest it's ever been to go out and see great music
in Dayton.
Yeah, for sure. And how cool that, like, whether it's at the Schuster or at Odd Bodies or at Blind Bob's or the Trolley or the Victoria, like, it's – we have just this – we just have really good art and really good music here.
And sometimes it's like almost too good. Some weekends,
it's
like,
overwhelming.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to flip a coin because I'm going to make some tough choices on which show to go to.
Absolutely. Some weekends, I want to quit at least two of my bands so I can go see bands that I want to see.
Well, this weekend, you should make a point to be at Odd Bodies Saturday night. This must be the party. It's going to be the party. It's going to be a recreation of Stop Making Sense, the Talking Heads concert film, local musicians, folks you know and love. We've got the full lineup and more details at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. You can go to oddbodies.com to get your tickets. They're also available at the door.
They are available at the door, and doors open at 8 o'clock. If there are a few tables, so if you're somebody who wants to claim a table, get there at 8. But the show starts right at 9 o'clock. There'll be a food truck and some food on site if you come hungry, so don't worry about that part, too.
Perfect. You've got it. You've got it all covered. And of course, proceeds from this evening will benefit the Dayton Ballet. Wonderful, wonderful art in our community. Huge, wonderful history there. Dayton Ballet Bar, their volunteer group, is helping make this possible. And we've got a link to get involved with them on the Facebook page as well.
I will say one other just quick note. If somebody out there unfortunately cannot go, but does want to make a donation, you can buy a ticket, and 100% of the door sales do go to the Dayton Ballet. So if you want to make a quick donation that way, you can do that as well.
Perfect, perfect. All the details at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Come out to Odd Bodies Saturday night. It's going to be a great event. Libby, Keith, Brian, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Took the money.